Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. In this show, we look at a selection of films from the career of George Peppard, who shot to fame in the film Breakfast at Tiffany's. I hope you enjoy the show. Mention George Peppard to most people and they will immediately say The A-Team, the famous TV series that he starred in from 1983 to 1987. But there was more to him than just that. After a lot of TV work and just three feature films, he landed the plum role of a struggling writer in New York, living in the same apartment block as Audrey Hepburn, playing a high-class call girl. It was a George Axelrod script from a Truman Capote novella. The film was a huge success, which put him in the highest earning bracket of actors. It's a scintillating script, and Blake Edwards directed. My favourite scene is the party. The best party ever shown in a film. All the guests were friends of Blake Edwards, and real champagne was served. Music was by Henry Mancini, including the fabulous song Moon River, written with Johnny Mercer. This song has been recorded a staggering 500 times by different artists.
Wherever you're going, I'm going your way. Two drifters off to see the world. There's such a lot of world to see.
A couple of years later, George was offered a lead role in The Longships for $200,000, but turned it down because he didn't want to spend 6 months in Yugoslavia. he did accept the role of Jonas Cord in The Carpetbaggers, a fictitious story based on the life of Howard Hughes and a bestseller by Harold Robbins. Cord inherits a factory from his father and is full of ambition and visions in an expanding US economy of the 1920s. Unfortunately, he expects everyone to buy into his vision at the expense of their own lives. Carol Baker is outstanding as his lynx-like stepmother, and Alan Ladd, Martin Balsam, and Robert Cummins also star. After the film was completed, George married Elizabeth Ashley, who plays his wife in the film. Elmer Bernstein provided the score, and Edward Dimitrik directed. Operation Crossbow followed in 1965. This was a Michael Anderson-directed film about the Allies' mission to locate and destroy the factories that were building and launching the V-1 and V-2 rockets Hitler used to try to turn the tide of the Second World War. George, Tom Courtney and Jeremy Kemp are recruited to carry out the mission. Sophia Loren also stars. There are some unexpected twists in this story, and it stands up well.
Thank you.
The same year, George appeared in The Third Day, a thriller that is far too long. A good premise is sadly wasted due to the lack of a pair of scissors in the editing suite. Losing 20 minutes could have turned this into a contender for the show. In 1966, George got the role of Bruno Stachel, a working-class German infantryman who becomes a flyer in the prestigious German Air Corps in the First World War. He is shunned and ridiculed by the mostly aristocratic flyers in the Corps, led by Jeremy Kemp, and James Mason is terrific as the general who sees in Stachel the makings of a German folk hero and turns him into one. Ursula Andress courts his interest as Mason's neglected wife. The aerial photography is top-notch, and John Guilliman directed well. There weren't any surviving planes available for the film, so new versions were built, and director Peter Jackson now owns three of them in New Zealand. A young Jerry Goldsmith came up with the score and a nice main theme. At this time, David Shipman, film critic, wrote of George, I quote, "With his cool blonde baby face looks and a touch of menace, of meanness, he had established a scream persona as strong as any at the time. He might have been the Alan Ladd of the 60s, but the 60s didn't want a new Alan Ladd." A few action movies followed. In 1969, George made Pendulum, a good noirish thriller about a detective suspected of killing his wife, Jean Seberg, and her lover. Charles McGraw plays his suspicious police chief, but Robert F. Lyons in his film debut steals the picture as a released rapist.
I tell myself she's true to me, she's true to me, I tell myself. She would not deceive, she could not deceive. I believe I must believe. Who is she? Rings and rings, she isn't home. Is she home?
Then in 1970, he made The Executioner, about an MI6 spy, John Shay, who believes one of his number, Adam Booth, is a double agent. Booth is married to Shay's ex-girlfriend, played by Joan Collins. Nigel Patrick and Charles Gray hold all the strings at HQ in London as Shay tries to figure out what's going on. Judy Geeson also stars, and Oscar Homolka has a delicious cameo role. This is one of only five movies that Sam Wanamaker made outside of television. In 1972, he made another interesting thriller, The Ground Star Conspiracy, in which he plays a special agent, Tuxen, who is called in to investigate an explosion at a top-secret rocket fuel research centre. One survivor has half his face blown off and has completely lost his memory of what happened. In Newman's Law, made in 1974, George plays a no-nonsense, hard-working Los Angeles cop who stumbles across a drug smuggling racket seemingly condoned by his own department. He and his partner investigate. His partner's played superbly by Roger Robinson, who got a supporting actor nomination for his role. The film was directed by Richard T. Heffron, who had directed George in his successful TV series around the same time, Banachek. I found two more films George made for TV worth watching. The first is called Man Against the Mob from 1988. George plays a detective who's seen it all in 1930s Los Angeles. The mafia in New York get the idea to move into the city, and he is assigned to keep them out. It's well made and very enjoyable. George is completely at ease in this role, and he must have enjoyed the experience, as he made a sequel the following year called The Chinatown Murders, about people trafficking into Los Angeles from China. The pacing of both these films is very good, and there's a continuity in the police department between the two. In the second, Ursula Andress makes an appearance as a nightclub owner. A third film in the series was planned, but George died before it could be made. So there you have it. George Peppard's career is a familiar story of a talented actor whose lifestyle ended up overtaking him. He conquered a drinking problem in the late 70s caused by his frustration at not getting the roles he wanted. His lifestyle had forced him to accept work that paid the most, which perpetuated the cycle. Here's an interesting quote he made to a New York Post journalist. "Mine isn't a string of victories. It's no golden past. I'm no George Peppard fan." I hope you've enjoyed this look into George Peppard's career. Until next time.
I'm gonna love you like no one's loved you, come rain or come shine. High as a mountain, deep as a river, come rain or come shine. I guess when you met me, it was just a one of those things. But don't ever bet me, 'cause I'm gonna be true. Well, if you let me, gonna love me like no one's loved me. Come rain or come shine. Happy together, unhappy together, and wouldn't it be fine? Days may be cloudy or sunny, we're in or we're out of the money, but I'm with you always. I'm with you rain or shine. You're gonna love me like nobody's loved me. Come rain or come shine. Happy together, unhappy together, and wouldn't it be fine?